are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the fan-sided Minnesota Timberwolves fan site. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy week after the NBA draft lottery. Hopefully you had a fantastic weekend and are ready to get back into the mindset of the Minnesota Timberwolves offseason. There were some fantastic NBA playoff games in the bubble this weekend. Of course, Luka Doncic with the game winner on Sunday. The back and forth duel between Jamal Murray and Devin Booker. Lots of great basketball. And someday the Timberwolves will be involved, hopefully, in some of that playoff action. Today, I want to get right back into the conversation around the NBA draft lottery, some of the residual draft lottery notes from last week. John Hollinger, of course, of the Hollinger and Duncan podcast here on the Locked On NBA Network, posted a piece over at The Athletic in which he talked about some potential trade possibilities for the Warriors at number two, which actually included the Wolves at number one. So I want to talk through his thoughts, what my thoughts are and his thoughts, and then also the possibility of a trade back. Last week on Friday's show, I talked a little bit about the three possibilities the Wolves could stand pat and draft somebody at number one. Of course, they could also trade the pick for a star caliber type player. Talked a little bit about like the Devin Bookers, Bradley Beals of the world. There's also the trade back possibility in which the Wolves stay in this draft, but just pick up a draft where they, or pick up some value as they slide backwards in what is not exactly a top heavy draft, as we've talked about pretty extensively and everybody's talking about. But could they pick up a rotation worthy, maybe a starting caliber player, and still retain a pick in the lottery of this draft? What are some possibilities there? So I want to talk through that as we go through the show today. So pack show, and of course, later this week, we're going to get back into the draft big board conversation as we look at who is on my big board for the Timberwolves. Of course, number one is the most important thing now. And then also this week, we're working on the next edition, I guess the 4.0 edition of the NBA, the Locked On NBA Network mock draft. This is no longer just the Delete 8 mock draft, but the entire lottery will participate in this. So the first 14 picks of the draft, we are still going to do similar size crossover shows, I believe, with three teams per show. So we're in the process of doing the mock draft. We'll record those later this week and likely have the crossover episode by the end of the week, at latest the first part of next week, for your listening pleasure. Before we get started, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves. That's at Lockdown T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, so the debate that's been raging now for the last few days, really since the lottery on Thursday, is of course the basically, you know, do the Wolves take Anthony Edwards from Georgia? Do they take LaMelo Ball at number one? James Wiseman, I don't think, is a realistic possibility for the Timberwolves. So it's the Ball or Edwards conversation. Very rarely you'll see some other players mock to the Wolves. If you just kind of peruse the variety of mock drafts you can find, most of the quote-unquote experts, the bigger sites, ESPN, CBS Sports, The Athletic, pretty much everybody's saying either Ball or Edwards. Occasionally you'll find a, you know, a Killian Hayes or maybe even an Obi Toppin at number one overall. They're probably possibilities, but again, I think the Wolves are in a position, and their front office is very value conscious, and it seems obvious, but not every front office is in the NBA, as if you paid any attention to NBA front offices over the past however long, I guess, you'll know that some offices aren't as, you know, there's kind of this thought of, oh, if we want the guy, we'll just take him. The Wolves aren't going to do that. They're going to take who they think is the best player at that spot, or they're going to trade back and pick up value. And if they can get a guy who's maybe their second or third choice on their board, but they pick up some extra value in the process, if that gap isn't significant between one and two or one and three or whatever that might be on their draft board, they're going to do that. So for instance, I don't think they're going to take a Killian Hayes or Obi Toppin at number one. I think they would trade back before doing that. And that's kind of the premise that I'm working off of, because again, I think they have a very value conscious mindset in this current edition of the Timberwolves front office that certainly has not always been the case. So, I mean, those are the names that you're going to hear. I'd be shocked if there was any names besides Ball, Edwards, and then secondarily Hayes, James Wiseman. They're not gonna take James Wiseman, but that name could be floated. An Obi Toppin potentially. So those are probably the six names you're gonna hear. The three names that you're gonna hear most as the best potential prospect that every team's got one of these three guys number one on their board, I would bet, is Ball, Edwards, and Wiseman. Again, with Wiseman not a fit, Edwards is the best positional fit. I've talked about why I like LaMelo Ball as a prospect more, which, you know, I've tipped my hand a little for our mock draft here, and I'll save my full case that I'm going to make for that episode. But basically, you got to take the player that you think has the best NBA-ready skill, and I think Anthony Edwards has enough shortcomings in his game that you got to take a guy who you know is going to plug and play at least in one area of the NBA. Outside of the physicality and the athleticism, you know, the size, there's so many question marks. I think it was an article, I think it was The Ringer, Roger Sherman at The Ringer posted a article after the lottery where he quoted, and I don't have it in front of me, so this isn't, I'm not going to get this perfect, but he quoted Jay Billis. So what he said on air on ESPN after the lottery was Anthony Edwards is the best prospect in the draft, but there's question marks about his. And then he went on to list his defense, his effort, his shooting, his efficiency, basically half of the game, right? And so while Edwards may have the highest ceiling, I think the floor ceiling combination of LaMelo Ball is really attractive. I think the number one skill that he has with his playmaking ability, his passing ability, his offensive IQ, know-how with the game. He's played professionally now for a while. All those things together should be able to plug and play him into an NBA rotation, and you're going to get something that resembles an NBA player. Anthony Edwards, outside of his what he should be in his profile and some of his better games, which often came against inferior competition in college, you know, those aren't necessarily plug and play. I think there's a lot more of a learning curve there. And I said this on the draft lottery live show on Locked On Live last Thursday, that as silly as it seems, the Wolves fancy themselves to be in, if you will, win now mode. Yes, they had the league's third worst record. Yes, they've only made the playoffs once in 16 years. But they also have two guys who have been all-stars that are both 24 years old. They're on max deals. They have to consider themselves in win now mode. That's just the reality of their situation. And I know that Gerson Rosas and Ryan Saunders and everybody, all the Timberwolves brass, is very aware of that. And that's certainly the direction that they're headed. All right, next up, I want to talk about the John Hollinger article and he threw a bunch of potential trades against the wall, and we'll see if any of them stick in your mind here coming up next. And then again, after that, I want to talk about the possibility of a trade back. What potential targets could there be out there if the Wolves decided to try and trade back? Before we do that, let's talk about CBDMD. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or if you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair, or really if you're a stay-at-home parent who is homeschooling your kid right now, like I think many of us are, everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. To make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA checkout. Easy to remember, NBA. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. All right, let's talk about this Hollinger article. This is over at The Athletic. Again, of course, John Hollinger is co-host of the fantastic Hollinger and Duncan show here on the Locked On NBA Network. They have weekly podcasts. They've posted a podcast since the draft. This is from his article on The Athletic that was posted last Friday. So again, the day after the draft lottery. And basically, I mean, the title of the article is Hollinger's NBA Trade Possibilities, the lottery picks that could be in play. Again, this article is subscription. You need to have a subscription to access it because it is on The Athletic. So I'm not going to read the whole thing verbatim, but I'm going to hit some high points and talk about the Wolves related items. So he even says in this article, I know I just gave my two cents on the Wolves thinking that they're in win now mode because that's the mindset they have to be in. Hollinger actually has in the third paragraph of this article, he says, quote, the Minnesota Timberwolves aren't going to be in win now mode with the number one pick. But after that, several teams aren't planning a repeat visit to the lottery. And so on and so forth, end quote. So he says the Wolves aren't in win-now mode. I think the Wolves think that they're in win-now mode because you can't not be with two max contracts on your roster, and both those guys are young. It's not like they're trying to get off of those contracts. So most of this article is focused on Golden State and what they're trying to do from a trade perspective. The Knicks potentially trying to move up. He goes through Washington, Phoenix, Atlanta, a few of these other teams, Sacramento. And then he actually gets into this potential. I'm actually going to read part of this verbatim. It's not a big enough chunk that I feel terrible about reading it out of the subscription site. But basically, he asks the question, what about Minnesota? And now I'm going to read this directly. He says, quote, I don't think the Wolves will be trading out of the draft, but what about trading down from 1 to 2 in a three-way deal with Golden State? If we presume that A, the Warriors will shop the second pick, B, most teams would rather have Ball than Edwards, but C, the Wolves would rather have Edwards than Ball, then the stars align for this type of trade. End quote. So he then goes on to talk about how Edwards is a better fit for the Wolves roster with Russell and Towns than LaMelo Ball, which is true. And I've talked about that from a positional fit perspective, from a theoretical what Anthony Edwards should be. That is absolutely unequivocally true. LaMelo Ball, and he says this here, has what he calls, quote, heavy role duplication with Russell. And that's absolutely true. He does. And we've talked about that. But I'm a fan, as I've talked about with the previously, with the potential for drafting Obi Toppin, had the Wolves fallen a little bit in the lottery. Leaning into what you're good at, I don't think is the worst thing when you're still trying to find your footing. And so, adding a guy like LaMelo Ball, for me, if he's the best player available and if more teams covet him, the Wolves need to, at the very least, make teams think that they are comfortable taking him and putting him on the court next to D'Angelo Russell, operating with both of them together, giving LaMelo the keys to the second unit at times, and all those different things. At the very least, they have to make people think that they're comfortable doing that. And I think they are. I think that Gerson Rosas is going to, again, squeeze as much value as he can out of every asset that he has. And in this scenario, that means taking LaMelo Ball and either figuring out the rest later or, you know, making a trade on draft night after taking him and showing people it wasn't just a bluff. And so if they're able to swing this trade, and so the part of this that I'm not sure about is that the Wolves would actually rather have Edwards than Ball. I'm not sure that that's true, because I tend to think the Wolves, you know, will have a lot of the same questions about Edwards that I do and would rather just get the best player, the player that they deem to be the best with the highest ceiling and the most NBA ready skills at the same time, which potentially could be Ball. And then he goes on to say the Wolves are going to have to play some poker to convince teams that they would take Ball at one, which is what I just said, that they need to convince people that this potential trade that he concocts is super confusing. So stick with me here. Basically, this would be a three-way deal where the Knicks move number 8, or they move on from number 8 and get number 1. They send Mitchell Robinson to Golden State. The Wolves would move to the second pick. They get number 2 from Golden State and get Anthony Edwards. And then they get their first for next year back from Golden State that they had sent along with Wiggins to get D'Angelo Russell. The Wolves would then send the 17th pick in this draft, of course, the Nets pick, to the Warriors. And the Warriors would also get the Knicks 27th pick. The Warriors then would try and package those picks and do something else. So all this to say, the Wolves would effectively be moving from 1 to 2, they would lose the 1 and the 17, and they would get their pick back next year. So all they would be doing is moving back one spot and swapping a 17 in this year's draft to their pick next year, which hopefully is around that same spot. So I don't see a ton of upside there for the Wolves unless they're picking up something else in the process. I guess he doesn't specify who's getting the 8th pick. I suppose that would probably be the Wolves. So basically you're moving from 1 to 2, picking up 8 and trading out of 17 to pick up a pick for next year. And he admits in the article, it's extremely confusing, but the Wolves would be gaining value here, assuming that they would rather have Edwards, as Hollinger assumes. And the Warriors, you know, what's in it for the Warriors? Obviously, they pick up some additional picks to trade. The Knicks obviously moved to number 1 to be able to take Ball. All those things make some sense, but it's just a fascinating and confusing situation where, again, you have teams at 1 and 2 and the Wolves and the Warriors, neither of them really want to pick at 1 or 2 in what is essentially a flat draft. You know, you've got a handful of guys that are, ranked or likely 3 to 5 on most big boards, but nobody's a consensus 1. The depth kind of, it's flat throughout much of it. 3 and D guys early, maybe some bigs later in the first round. The Wolves would just as soon, I think, draft in the late lottery as, you know, if all things are equal, pick number 1. Obviously, that's not actually true. In a vacuum, you'd always rather have the number 1 pick, because now they dictate their own future. They can decide if they're going to pick or if they're going to trade it. But if they can pick up value and slide to later in the round, I absolutely think that that's what they're going to try and do. And I think this proposal from Hollinger is fascinating. He goes on to talk about some other, you know, possibilities if for the Warriors, if they could pick up Drew Holiday from New Orleans, who's going to be a free agent after this year. He thinks they're going to move on from Andrew Wiggins. I think so as well. I've been talking about that here for a while, that all of their, for all the talk about how good of a fit he is in Golden State, they're just clearly trying to flip him in the number two to get something else. So fascinating read. If you can get over to The Athletic, if you have a subscription, read Hollinger's the whole thing. He's got some other interesting trades proposed there. But it's just an example of just how convoluted this thing could be. And, you know, and what happens next for the Wolves? Can they truly move on from the number one pick, pick up assets in return, and come out on top? All right. Next, I want to talk about the possibility of trading back, picking up a pick in this draft, and also a rotation worthy player. Before we do that, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. It tastes exactly like a candy bar. It's also new and improved. I should be getting my new shipment of Built Bar any day now. There's brand new packaging, brand new logo. And in addition to all that, not only does it look better, it's going to taste better. And there's 6 brand new flavors. There's already 12 original flavors we've talked about on the show here for a long time. The 6 new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. I cannot wait to try caramel brownie and cookies and cream. Those both sound amazing. Built Bars are perfect for health conscious guys and gals. They can help you lose or maintain weight while you're indulging in a delicious treat. They're all low calorie, low sugar, high in protein and high in fiber. They're perfect for a keto diet. The flavor profile of cookies and cream, which again, I cannot wait to try. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar and 4 grams net carbs. And right now for a limited time, Built Bar is offering a free cooler with a purchase while supplies last. They tell us this only lasts for a week or so, if that. So a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order. If you've ordered before, this promo code is still valid. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. And while supplies last, grab yourself a free cooler with your next purchase at builtbar.com. All right, last week on the podcast, we talked a little bit about the possibility of the Wolves trading for a star caliber player. Some of the names that have been bandied about forever are Devin Booker, of course, Bradley Beal. I recently brought up John Collins, who maybe fits more into the next tier versus a true superstar at this stage. And then Ben Simmons is kind of one of the new names that's been out there. We talked a little bit more extensively about that last week. All those things are admittedly not likely possibilities, but they're possible. There's an article that came out on Bleacher Report over the weekend written by Dan Favoli, I guess. And he talks about whether each team in the lottery should consider keeping or trading their picks. Of course, this isn't it's not exactly a zero-sum game. Each of these teams doesn't have to make that decision and certainly doesn't now. And there could be some mix. And in fact, the conclusion he comes to for the Timberwolves is to shop the pick, not necessarily keep it or trade it, but to shop it, which is, you know, obvious. I guess every team should be considering at least doing that. But he lists a variety of guys that potentially could be available that the Wolves could look at. He also mentions Booker and Beal kind of in a cursory mention. He talks about talking to the Pacers about Victor Oladipo, or the Pelicans about Drew Holiday. I don't know that Oladipo is a realistic scenario for a couple of reasons, so I don't want to spend too much time on him. I also don't think Holiday is a great fit. Again, I recognize that I also think that LaMelo Ball and D'Angelo Russell could work together, but we're talking about a trade when you get to pick who your target is and the number one pick in a shallow draft when you just got to take the best guy. And if the fit works, you do it. But if you're going to pick a guy to trade for, Drew Holiday probably isn't the guy that you need. Somebody who wants the ball in his hands and, you know, he's a good shooter, but he's not a sharpshooter and he's not a perfect fit with D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns. There's a few other names he mentions that I really like, and I want to spend some of these names we're going to dig into more in the coming weeks because I think that there's more there. One of the names he mentions is actually John Collins, who we talked about last week. John Collins and the number 6 for the number 1. Does that make sense for either team? I still don't know why that makes a ton of sense for Atlanta. Unless they just want to get out before they have to extend him and they don't see him as part of their future. I don't know why they wouldn't see him as part of their future because I think he's fantastic and I think he's a good fit with Trae Young. Obviously, you got to add some defense to that team, but it's weird to me that they would potentially move on from him. From a Minnesota perspective, if they offer John Collins in number 6 and the Wolves feel like John Collins is a good fit moving forward, you do that trade and then you figure out how to keep Collins and Beasley later because I think you have enough defense there and you know, you find some defenders to add to the team, to the rotation on the wing, and also bigs to help out Collins and Towns. But Collins and Towns have enough size and athleticism defensively. You tell David Vanterpool, have them figure this out, right? Like, there's enough size and athleticism. And then you add in D'Angelo Russell, who's not ultra athletic and not a great defender, but he's big for a point guard. Malik Beasley's a weak link, but you have an Okogie, you find a big defender to play on the wing. Jake Layman's a solid defender off the bench. Hernan Gomez is okay. You can craft a decent defense somewhere, you know, in the 15 to 20 range in terms of defensive rating. You have a top three offense and you're at least a second round playoff team. You get lucky and you're better than that. You keep developing and you're better than that. So I think Collins in the six for number one is something the Wolves would have to look at. You probably have to include Jarrett Culver or somebody else in that deal. But that's one that we've talked about here that I really like. Otto Porter is another name mentioned here with the Bulls. Of course, he's now on a max deal. I don't know how this would work in terms of salaries. I mean, technically it could work, but it would be complicated, and I'm not sure you want him to be your third guy on a max deal. I think he's really good and I like him, but some of the injury concerns combined with the contract make that not probably a great move. Lauri Markkanen is a possibility. Maybe he'd be a nice fit with the Wolves. With number four, again, you'd have to get that pick back. So again, we're talking about trading back and picking up a solid, you know, starting caliber or better player, almost a second tier star, which is why I don't think it's very tenable to acquire another max deal if it's Otto Porter. It's maybe a different story if it's a, you know, a Devin Booker or a Ben Simmons or somebody like that. Other names mentioned, this one's interesting, Buddy Hield in the number 12. You know, Buddy Hield's not a perfect fit because he's also not a great defender. And, you know, then you're probably not going to keep Malik Beasley. And I think the Wolves would just as soon at this stage keep Malik Beasley than bring in Buddy Hield. Hield's contract situation is he's still on his rookie deal, so he's about to get extended. And I think you can probably get Malik Beasley for less than you're going to get Buddy Hield, and probably get more or equal production at worst. Hield probably has a little bit of a higher defensive upside because of his size, but I'd rather bet on Beasley at a slightly lower number. So that's an interesting one, but I don't think it makes a ton of sense. The other team mentioned is San Antonio, Devontae Murray, Derek White, Rudy Gay, any of those plus number 11. Would that be too much for San Antonio to get number one, or not enough for Minnesota? I would probably say not enough under almost any circumstance. Got to dig into that one a little bit more, but sliding all the way down to 11, you got to get a guy who's certainly going to be capable of being a third or fourth star, a third or fourth option on a playoff team if you're going to do that. So there's some, I still think John Collins is the most interesting one. Buddy Hield's maybe a possibility. Something with the Bulls and number four, whether it be, again, I don't love Porter on a max deal, but Markkanen possibly. There's some options there too. But really, I guess the point here is that it doesn't have to be a Ben Simmons, a Bradley Beal, a Devin Booker, and it's unlikely to be one of those guys. It very well could be a next tier guy who can take a third seat, a very clear back seat to the 1A and 1B of Towns and Russell offensively, and somebody who's comfortable doing that, but still being the clear third option on this team. You know, that's a real possibility, and still picking up a selection in this draft. I mean, is the number four pick a lot worse than the number one in this draft? Probably not. If you think Killian Hayes or Tyrese Halliburton or Devin Vassell or any of those guys that are capable of starting on the wing in the NBA, if the drop-off isn't that far from a LaMelo Ball or an Anthony Edwards, and frankly, while Edwards may have the highest ceiling of that group, the floor of a Killian Hayes or the floor of a Devin Vassell, I think, is much higher. And so I would completely buy the Wolves trading back to four, or trading back to seven or 11 or whatever they can do, eight with the Knicks, to pick up an asset and still get a rookie on a deal like that. And then possibly move that 17, as we've talked about before, to move back into next year's draft where they don't have a selection currently. So there's any number of combinations that's possible. And this just goes to show the sorts of things that the Wolves front office is sitting around talking about right now. There's so many possibilities for them to consider. And it's just fascinating for us to look at this. And we're still, you know, 7 weeks out from the draft. So something to keep an eye on. Obviously, if there's any concrete rumors, if there's any, you know, hey, this team really wants to move up, we'll examine the roster. We'll look at guys that could possibly be had by the Wolves. And we're going to spend quite a bit of time covering that here moving forward. All right. Later this week, we're going to get back into the big board. We're going to talk crossover mock draft with some of the other hosts here at the Locked On NBA Network. And there's going to be plenty of draft talk as you continue to enjoy playoff basketball in the Orlando bubble. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Do not forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.